Hello, and welcome to What Else Do You Do? I'm your host, Masal. I'm an indie producer at Studio Cut to Bits in Montreal. And today, oh, I closed my notebook. Today, our guest is Alana Lanier. Please introduce yourself.
Hello, everyone. I am Alana Ramsey-Banana, if you have an American accent. If you don't, it does not. I'm the founder of Team Toadhouse and Toadhouse Games. Toadhouse Games is a visual novel indie game studio. Last week, we released Good Lookin' Home Cookin'. It's on Itch for $5. And next year, we have Call Me Sarah coming out. So basically, we make visual novels that have mental wellness themes and friendship.
Okay. I still have to play it. I'm sorry. It's downloaded. I see an icon on my desktop. But every time I look at it, I'm like, I need to play it. But
it's
I still have
a beautiful icon, isn't it? It's a great icon. You're just so enamored with the icon. You couldn't possibly click on it.
It can't get better than this. Like, no. This is going to be the highlight. So why even start?
Exactly.
But this podcast is called What Else Do You Do? So what else do you do?
Well, before I was a game developer, I did a lot of musical theater. I was an actor, and I like music and poetry and reading and arts and all the soft. Basically, there's the science building at colleges and the humanities building, and I never really entered the science building. I was always in the humanities building.
Okay, so tell me more about your past as an actor and performer.
Sure. So I grew up in New York and in Ireland, and both of them are very heavy in the arts, especially in music and poetry and performing arts. And I kind of fell into it. I did community theater and children's theater, but because it's New York and we are so close to New York City, our children's theater director had connections with everyone and everything. So we would be called in to do a Today Show segment. We'd be called in to do like an off-Broadway bit. We'd be called in anytime they needed kids for Times Square type things. And after a while, if you're doing it, then they like what you're doing. And if you're good at it, Disney will call you, Nickelodeon will call you. And in New York, especially for voice acting, it's a lot of commercials and then dubbing. And I happen to be very good at mimicking voices. So I was called in to do a lot of dubbing and a lot of commercials. So I've probably sold you toothpaste or a laptop or something of that nature. Herbal Essences, Staples, did it all. They pay nice.
Cool.
Yeah. You would do like, they call them cattle calls for Broadway shows. There's union and non-union, right? So if you're non-union, you start off non-union. And you wake up at 5 a.m. and you go to Sephora because you can't afford expensive makeup because you're an actor and a waitress. So you go to Sephora and you use the samples to do your face. And then the 24-hour Sephora. And then you go to your cattle call before the sun rises, which is just a line of people. And if they have an unofficial list of who got there, they never respect – well, not never. They sometimes respect the list. You can put your name on the list to prove that you were there at a certain time. But, you know, you physically have to be in line. So you need your food. You can't pee. You have to stand there and wait. And those are for union calls. So you might not even be seen. Basically, you're hoping that one of the union people misses their appointment or that they don't show up. And so then they'll take a non-union person for that time slot or a non-union cattle call where they're just seeing anyone and everything, usually to fill a chorus line. So you go in, you do your little monologue, you sing your little song, you do your little dance, and they go, thank you, next, and you leave, and then you get some pizza, and you go home, and rinse, repeat, until you book something, and then you hope you do well, and once you book it, there's anxiety of actually doing it. I don't know why anyone is an actor. It's a lot of anxiety. But yeah, it's fun when you're on stage and when you're actually doing it, but everything you need to do to be an actor, it's kind of like game development. Making the actual game is great, but everything, the biz dev side, all the stuff you need to do to make a video game, it's all just stress around the fun bit, like the terrible center.
When did you make the transition to game development?
Well, I got into a car accident in my mid-20s. And so for a few months, I was stuck on a couch because I couldn't really move. But that made it sound really dramatic. Sorry. I couldn't like use my arms. So I injured my everything. This sounds so dramatic. It wasn't that bad. I'm fine. The chest muscles were injured. So I couldn't like brush my teeth, raise my arms, that type deal. It's not like I was.
That's a pretty big deal.
I guess so.
It's okay. You don't have to undersell it. Like, Anytime people can't brush their own teeth, like that, you could call that a big deal.
Okay,
I don't think you're being a drama queen.
So it's, thank you. Because it's like, I'm fine. I didn't break anything, nothing, but it was annoying. So I spent a lot of time on the couch and I was thinking like, do I even enjoy doing what I do anymore? And then I realized I've been an actor since I was 12 and I'm 25 now and I'm doing it out of habit and I don't think I like it anymore. And if I wasn't an actor, then who am I and what am I doing? And something I've always loved is video games. So I said, well, what if I make a video game just to see if I like it? And I made one on Twine. And I was like, you know what? That was really fun. So I figured I wanted a full, complete reset because I was going through a lot at the time. So I wanted to move somewhere. I was like, well, if I'm to move somewhere, where would I move? And then I thought, well, if I'm going to be a game developer, I wouldn't want to do AAA. I'd want to do indie. That way I've got my hands and everything. So then I determined either Seattle or Austin, and Austin, Texas had the better weather. So I moved to Austin. I immediately fell into the dev team of Bendy and the Ink Machine. I worked on that. Rooster Teeth is also in Austin, and Rooster Teeth published the console release of Bendy. So I got to know those people. And I don't know, I fall into a lot of things. I say I'm going to do something, and then it kind of just happens. Mm-hmm.
And now you have Toad House. So what's the origin story for Team Toad House?
Well, the origin story is even before the car accident back when I was an actor. At night, I couldn't sleep. And when I couldn't sleep, because I've got bipolar disorder, so there's sometimes days where I don't sleep for days in a row. And I would be bored. And Justin TV just allowed people to start streaming to this brand new thing called Twitch. So I made a Twitch account and I started streaming random visual novels, actually. And I guess because a combo of it being brand new and there wasn't many people on it yet, so it wasn't as saturated and as difficult as it was, as it is now, I got a decent following that kind of made it. The vibe was like I was sitting on the couch with a bunch of internet friends playing a game together. So I'd come home from my waitressing job and I'd start streaming to hang out with my internet friends and all play games together. And one day they were being rambunctious and I wanted to put them in my doghouse, but I didn't want to call it a doghouse because my dog, she's passed away since, but her name was Lucky and she was the sweetest thing. And I was like, I'm not putting you in the doghouse with her. That's not a punishment. She's amazing. You guys suck. So I'm going to put you in the, and I looked around the room and I had a little Toad plushie from Nintendo. And I was like, the Toad House. I'm going to put you in the Toad House. And it was supposed to be a punishment room, but the chat, of course, turned it and made it like an imaginary arcade room with warm cookies and beanbags. Anytime a new person joined the chat, they're like, do something naughty. So she puts you in the Toad House. And it was like, they tried to antagonize me so that I'd put them in the timeout corner of the Toad House. And then as I started making games, I needed to come up with a name for this company that I was doing. And I was doing, I still do to this day, this self-care sync up. It used to be on Twitch, but now it's in the Discord, where we do like creative writing exercises and stretches and meditations and that type of a deal. So I was trying to come up with a name for that and the games and just everything I was doing. And then I thought, well, the Toad House is a really fun place to hang out in my chat. So I'm going to call us Team Toad House, that we are like trying to get in the Toad House. So Team Toad House is the LLC. And then as I was starting to make games, Team Toad House doesn't really like quickly tell people that it's that we make games. So there's Team Toad House, and then Toad House Games is like the indie game studio within the LLC.
Okay. Yeah, that's...
I just go with the flow and things happen.
I don't know. It's cute. I like it.
Thank you. It's got like naughty roots. I like it. It reminds me of hanging out with friends on the couch when I'm 21 streaming to the brand new Twitch.
Yeah, I remember back in those days when we were talking about Justin TV and I'm like, what is this thing? Like,
right? It was a weird thing to stream yourself playing games and you would tell someone you did it and they'd be like, so people watch you? Is it weird? Do you do things on camera? I'm like, no, it's not like that. Because they kept asking me, are you like a webcam girl? No. I'm
I mean, in a there hoodie. Is a webcam. I am a girl, yes, but right. Like, no, that's where the similarity ends.
Exactly. Precisely.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to the first question. So what did you get out of acting that you don't out of game dev?
I miss being on stage. I really like theater. I miss Tech Week. Although there's a lot of similarities between game dev and musical theater, but I really miss singing. I miss performing. I miss how in the moment and live it was. Like when you make a video game, it's more like making a movie where then you can return to that thing. But theater, because it's live, it's the ultimate being in the moment. Like throwing something on stage, like if we were doing a scene together and I were to toss you a bag of Twizzlers or something, there will be nights that you don't catch it or that your hand slips or like, and then you play off those moments. And there's nothing more like zen being in the moment than being on stage and delivering a performance and being in the room with the people that you're bringing on this emotional journey. And I really miss that feeling. I miss just performing on a stage. You don't really do that with game dev.
Do you think about doing something like that again?
I probably do like community theater. The thing is like, okay, so I had this problem when I would try to sign up for dance classes where if you do something professionally, it's almost annoying to not bring your A game. So if you were to sign up for a dance class and you're a professional dancer, to take a dance class just for fun, it's hard to turn off the professional aspect of it, right? Like if that's mm-hmm. what you do, because you've pride in what you do and you want to do it right. And then to be like, no, we're just messing around. And you're just like, but I can do this properly. So for that, I found things that are dance adjacent helps. Like I used to love playing capoeira because it's a fighting style that is very similar to dance. So it's like a martial art mixed with dance. So if you find something adjacent, that's cool. So at this point, I think I'm far enough removed that I could do community theater and it would be fun and I'd still get that same thing. But when you're doing it professionally and then you just decide to stop doing it professionally to then do it for fun, it's not insulting, but it almost feels like, no, this is my, like, especially for artsy things where you're trying to be taken so seriously and imposter syndrome's a thing, to then reel that back and be like, no, this is my fun hobby now. I spent 15 years of my life dedicating crafting this, you know, developing my craft and learning all these things and eating and bleeding this forever, but now it's a hobby. It feels weird. Yeah. So now maybe, but I had to let some time pass before I was able to ever consider going back to it.
It must be really hard. I mean, it's such a difficult profession and craft. I mean, in some ways, I guess it's similar to video games in the sense that a lot of people don't take it very seriously.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they don't think of it as like a real job or they don't, you know, appreciate like how difficult it is.
Yeah, 100%. Like you'd always see at the cattle calls, the people who just woke up that day and decided they wanted to be an actor because it was a lifelong dream. Just like you see people going, oh, I want to be a game dev. I have this great idea. So is there anyone in this room who wants to make it for me? Like it's the same vibe where there'll be people who go to a summer camp and make their little game and that's all they're doing with it. And they don't make a career out of it. Just like there's people who will do summer theater and go, no, I was an actor for a summer and that's it. And then there are people who want to make it a very serious career and develop certain skills that take a lot of time and energy and dedication and resources and just a lot of time. Like for acting, my goodness, it's living. What's the thing? Someone smarter than me described it as living truthfully in imaginary circumstances. So you need to suspend the disbelief of where you're actually at for your circumstance, but the feeling and the emotions are still true. And so you're a professional people watcher. So as an actor, you are constantly honing your craft, even when you're on a train or at a cafe, because you're watching people and just people being people. And you watch like how a person itches their nose. Like if you look at Meryl Streep, one of the things that makes her so great is when she's not on and when she's not acting. Well, she's acting, but when she's not speaking in her movies, you'll see her just kind of like itch her nose or play with her hair or these human things as opposed to a more amateur actor. They are on when they're saying their line and then they don't react or they overreact or they don't fill the space with just being human. But Meryl Streep's really great at being human. And that's very difficult to do. A lot of amateur actors, when they're on stage, they don't know what to do with their hands. And so they like, you'll see them gesture wide and such. But to just like, if you see an actor with their hands at their sides in a scene, that is incredibly difficult to do. And I notice it every single time. I watched a movie last week. I think it was, she's a redheaded actress. She was in La La Land. What's her name? Emma Stone.
Emma Stone.
I forgot what movie I was watching, but she was in it and she was standing there and the entire scene, she, for most of the scene, except for when it made sense, she had her hands at her side. And I thought that was so incredible because I know how difficult that is to do. Just like you'll see on Twitter, people who have never had to act or never had to make a game go, well, I don't understand why the lazy game devs didn't just add multiplayer over the weekend. Jesus, it's so quick. Like, it's the same energy. It's people who don't realize that consuming a media is so much easier than making the media, and so much time goes into it and so much skill goes into making it look effortless.
Well, let's flip that question over. Like, what do you think being an actor and your time that you spent dedicating to that profession gives you as a game developer in terms of your process or creative output?
One of the nicest compliments I've gotten so far on Good Looking Home Cooking is that my characters are very human. And how I write is I legit just act out the scenes and then I write out what I say. So I improv a scene just like an actor would. And then I try to remember, or I write as I go, what I'm saying. So I'm less of a writer and more of an actor. I act out the scene and then I just write out what I acted, and that's what the game is. So I would say acting is my strong point. If you like my dialogue and if you think my dialogue is effortless, it's from my acting background, 100%. I would say I'm more of an actor than a writer.
So do you do that alone or do you?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I sit at my desk and I have a full conversation. I have like Amira here and then Jessica here, and they're talking to each other. And because that's what I did as an actor, I would be playing out scenes in my head. Or when I was a kid, I'd read a book like Harry Potter and I'd have a mirror next to my, where I would read. I had this little reading chair in my room and I would say Hermione's lines and I would read Hermione's lines. Then I'd look in the mirror and I'd act out Hermione's lines. And then Ron would say something and then I'd act out Ron's lines because I find it fun. It's just play pretend. So it's fun. So I would do that while I was reading. And then I became an actor and I did that professionally. And now when I'm writing dialogue, I have Atom open, which is the coding editor. And I have, well, it's the one for RenPy. So technically that's also RenPy open. And then I have Scrivener, which is a software for, usually I think it's for script writing and novel writing, but I use it for visual novels. And I'll act out like 30 seconds of a scene and really get into the emotion. And then I'll write out what that dialogue is. And then I'll code it in. And then I'll take a 24-hour break and I'll go do something else and I'll garden or I'll go for a walk or I'll whatever, something unrelated to the game. And then I'll pick it up as if I'm an actor now. So I'm no longer the director writer. Now I'm an actor and I play the game and I act out the lines just like I did with Harry Potter. And if it feels good, then I know it's a good game and I know it's a good scene. If it feels awkward or if I don't know how the character would act, then I change the dialogue. I do that a million times over until I'm happy with the dialogue. And then because I've already acted along with the dialogue, I just match those sprites with where I naturally did it. So when you play my games, the sprites in the dialogue, you're literally watching me act out these characters, but as dialogue and sprites, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think, I mean, not that I talk to a lot of people who write visual novels. I mean, I do talk to a lot of people who write visual novels. It's just I don't talk to them about their process.
I assume many of them approach it like writers do, where they, to be honest, I'm not a writer, so I don't even know, but I know that it's different. I approach it like character work. Like I know what they had for breakfast that day and I know what's on their mind and I know what they did before the scene and I know what they're going to do after the scene. But that's just the actor in me. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's move on to the last question, which is, what is something you'd like people to know about acting?
I wish that people understood that acting and game dev are both lovely hobbies, and there's nothing wrong with doing these creative outlets as hobbies. But if you want to do them professionally, to make sure that it's because you cannot do anything else, that you would be miserable doing anything else, because they are both very volatile, unhealthy, predatory industries that will eat you alive if you let them. They are both unstable. Both of them don't come with benefits. Both of them, the pay isn't all that great. Like, literally any other career is probably a smarter choice. But if, like, there's just something in you that desperately needs to do this for a living, 100% go for it. I'm not trying to talk anyone out of it. Just be absolutely certain that you wouldn't be satisfied.
I think you should try to talk people out of it.
Maybe a little. Like, see if doing it as a hobby is satisfactory. And if it is, then run with that and be an accountant or something that makes money. Something with job security. But both acting and game development, it's just, it's so hard. And it's constant. And it's very hard to turn off. It's very hard to have a work-life balance. It's very hard to buy a house and have kids and all of that stuff that people want to do later on in life with these two types of jobs.
It's possible, though. I have a child. I bought a home, and I do have pretty decent work-life balance. But
that's
it
true.
Did take me 15 years. So.
It is possible. And it is possible as an actor, too. It's absolutely possible. But it did take a lot of work to get there, no?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And yeah. It wasn't natural.
Yeah.
I had a Twitter conversation actually about this exact topic, and somebody had like a, what is something that you want people to know before getting into the industry? Mm-hmm. And my answer was, almost everything you do in the games industry, you would get paid more to do the same thing in another industry.
That's true though.
It's true. No, this is actually absolutely true. Like, if you're a programmer, you're working in games, you're going to get paid less than doing similar programming and non-games. I'm a producer, so like doing project management in other industries, you get paid more than doing project management in video games.
Yeah.
I mean, some industries it's hard to compare because, like, you know, if you do like animation or game design, there's no real analog in a lot of other industries. But
I guess. I mean, I'm sure you could find, there's skill sets for everything, right? I mean, a writer could, like,
yeah, there are specific aspects of video games that are very specific to video games, and it's like there's no clear, like, do the same thing. And there's other industries where, like, if you're an animator, for example, if you're a 3D animator, this is not true because the animation industry and the VFX industry are just as bad as the video game industry. So
true.
Like, there are exceptions to this, generally speaking, but where there are non-entertainment options to do what you do, the non-entertainment options generally pay better, have job security, have benefits.
Yes.
Don't expect you to work on weekends.
And don't have that culture of like, what do you mean you're upset? This is your passion, obviously. Like, you should be so grateful to be part of this industry.
And anybody who talks to you like that is a toxic person, and you should try to run away from them as fast as you can. Sometimes you can't.
Yes. And sometimes they're your manager, you know, and you're stuck. But yeah.
And sometimes you do make the choice to stay there for whatever reason, and that it's not necessarily, you know, a bad choice for the long term. But
100%.
Like, the thing is, the weird thing about video games is that, like, video game production, while it's difficult, like, technically speaking, making video games is not easy. Mm-hmm. But, like, making video games is not hard. Mm. Like, it's, you know, you're... Generally speaking, you're sitting at a desk and you're working out problems. You're sitting in rooms, meeting rooms, talking to people and figuring out what you need to do. Like, none of this should be as awful as it actually is.
Yes.
And, you know, and I'm assuming, like, part of the reason that you wanted to do your own thing was so you could, you know, have an environment where it's not awful.
100%.
And the same with me. Like, the reason I went indie, or me and my friends, we decided to go indie, was because, like, we were like, why is this so hard? Like, we're doing what we want to do. Like, what we're doing what we want, what we love to do. We are good at our jobs. Like, mm-hmm. how is this job so difficult? Like, it doesn't, why do we have like weird office politics and, mm-hmm. you know, predatory behavior?
Why am I so stressed and, doing like, this yeah. thing that I love? Yeah.
Like, why am I worried about my job when I mm-hmm. know that I'm very good at it, you mm-hmm. know? And we didn't want to do that. So, yeah, it is possible, and it is something that I think we should all strive towards.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think it's exactly the same. I think maybe it's just the entertainment industry, whether it's video games or acting. It's the same. I'm doing this passionate thing. Like, it's all just, I don't know how to say it. Ugh. I mean, if I were to give advice to someone other than what we've already said, like, it sucks, especially, like, if you're a minority or a woman or non-binary or just, like, not your typical white dude. I don't know why they have it so easy. Well, not easy. I should say why they have it easier. Like, casting couch versus those old – I'm glad they don't do meetings in strip clubs anymore, but this industry is not exactly known for its maturity level.
They did when I started. Like, right? I've been working in video games in 2006, and in 2006 – there were definitely people who went to strip clubs in semi-professionally related
to have meetings. Functions.
I mean, were they having meetings? I don't think they were having meetings there, but like they were hanging out on the company dime. That's for sure.
Talking about things at work, which then the people who didn't feel comfortable going to the strip clubs were left out.
I'm just saying, I don't think they were that productive, is all I'm saying. Calling them meetings, I think, is a little too generous in terms of what the output of that bullshit was. But that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that there was definitely shenanigans.
I understand completely. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You have to be careful, I guess.
But yes, I'm glad that our industry is evolving.
Yeah, same. And even I've noticed that I'm out of it now, so I'm not like as on the cusp of the up and coming information, but a lot of child actors who were my generation, we're all the same age, we're in our early 30s now, and they're coming out against how child actors are treated, which I naively never even considered was an option. I was like, what do you mean we don't have to abuse children in show business? I thought that's just how it was. I didn't.
Well, if they didn't want to be abused, what are they doing there?
It just never occurred to me because it was just so normal. Like, they give children in show business pixie sticks for breakfast because they want you to have energy. And then when they crash, the child's considered like, oh, they're being a brat. So you're given more pixie sticks. Like, we're just feeding children sugar in order to give them Disney level energy to film all day. And
not so sustainable. Just like, no.
No. It reminds me of crunch and burnout. Like, all of this is just abusive.
Yeah. And all of it is like framed in this context of like, well, you're part of the family and like you're doing something really great. Like, no, you're not. Like, you're just contributing to somebody's like stock portfolio.
Yeah. It's just a job. It shouldn't be treated as like your absolute everything. And I think that there's a huge problem. It's very problematic to align your self-identity so much with what you do for a living. Because what if you do get laid off? Or what if you do want to switch careers? Or, you know, what if it isn't as happy as what you thought it would be? But like, it's kind of like what I was doing when I was sitting there on the couch going, well, shoot, if I'm not an actor, then who even am I? I've been an actor for my whole life. I don't even know what to do. My only skill set is acting.
For sure. Like, I definitely had, you know, I had that kind of crisis in my early 30s. Like, what? I'm not happy where I am. Like, I wanted to make video games, but I didn't like the position that I was in. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to like pivot to somewhere to doing something I wanted to do. And yeah, like you get into the situation where I'm like, so kind of specifically, so what happened for me was that like, so I started off in production and I kind of took a detour into like community management because it was like they offered me a managerial role. I'm like, oh, well, that's, you know, management, that's good. Mm-hmm. And I was doing that for a couple of years. And then I was like, oh, well, now I'm like a community management person. So I'm like, now I can't get a job as a production person. because like now I've been pigeonholed over here, and but I don't really want to do this long term. So mm-hmm. like, what do I do? And like, and it was also like extremely stressful.
Yeah, community management.
Yeah, community management's awful. Community management's so hard. Community management is so hard.
It is.
Production is hard, but like community management is so hard. And it's like they're so underappreciated.
Yes.
Like everybody treats them like garbage. It's so sad. But yeah. So like I'm pretty sure I went through a burnout because I just didn't care, and I just couldn't do it anymore. And yeah, fortunately everything worked out. I was able to like transition back into production management, and I still work for that company for like 7 more years after that.
But still, the fact that you had to go through burnout in order to get there, that sucks.
Yeah, it was not great.
No.
But
and for a job, like it's your job. It's just how to pay the bills and do something that isn't miserable. Like
yeah. So, yeah, I don't know where I was going with this.
Well, even so, I appreciated the story.
But yeah, well, I think it's time that we wrap up. So, thank you very much. This was a lovely conversation. I'm glad we had a chance to like get to know each other a little bit more, because I don't think we've certainly never talked.
No, we've been in maybe two like gig rooms together. Yeah, but those are groups of six.
Yeah, so I'm glad we got a chance to get to know each other a little bit better. And and this was a lovely conversation. So have a wonderful afternoon, and see you around.
Yes, you too. Thank you.
Thank you for listening, and please remember to rate and subscribe on your preferred podcast app. Thank you to Dave Wallace for providing the music, and thank you to Therese Lance for providing the logo. Bye.